You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast. I'm Sarah Marshall, and this podcast is all about getting the balance right on social media, making judgments as to when it's appropriate or inappropriate to share light-hearted stories if there's a big breaking news story happening, such as the Philippines typhoon. We get tips from Channel 4 News and from BBC News. Let's start by thinking about whether there are stories that are so big that they completely dominate the news agenda.
Hi, I'm Anna Doble. I'm the head of online at Channel 4 News. You've actually reminded me of when I was in radio. I was in radio for 8 years, and we used to have days where the editor would come in and say, it's a one-story day, and almost ban you from writing stories or cutting audio about anything other than the main breaking story. I mean, that was rare. It was things like 7/7, huge, huge things where it just made no sense to talk about anything else. I think the internet is different because it's not all arriving to the user or the reader or the viewer in one place. It's kind of more scattergun. So whilst you still might have a kind of one-story day attitude, certainly with something like the Philippines disaster, you might think around not putting up tweets that are too lighthearted. Ultimately, the internet is one big open space where people are coming at you from all the different angles. It's a big field. They're coming in through different paths and different gates and over different hills anyway. So, you know, to think that your audience is going to see everything in a certain context is probably wrong anyway.
There are other things going on in the world. There are other important news events, news stories. And, you know, if people are subscribing to our social media accounts, they're wanting to get a balance and variety of content.
That's Mark Frankel, Assistant Editor for Social News at the BBC.
We may have features, we may have other stories that we're looking at that are more lighthearted, and it's getting a balance between the drama and the power of what's going on in the Philippines, which is immensely tragic and distressing to a lot of people, with other stories that are perhaps, as I said, more lighthearted and less powerful and dramatic, and giving people a balance of those stories without them feeling at the same time that they are getting too much or too little of one thing.
So how many updates should we be sending out on social media about a big breaking news story so people don't feel they're getting too much of one thing?
I would say on Twitter, I personally don't think there really is such a thing as overkill. Most people now follow, you know, a sizable quantity of people. The average is probably that people follow 500 accounts. So, you know, if Channel 4 News put out 5 tweets in 5 minutes, I don't think that's going to bombard anybody. And if it does, they're very free, of course, to unfollow or to put you on a list instead of news providers so that they don't see it all the time.
I wouldn't like to think that there are rules of engagement for this, because I think we're feeling our way, and the audience, to some extent, are feeling their way as well in terms of what they want and how much they want. And they tell us very vocally and very directly if they feel that we're being too flippant, if they feel that we are not sharing the content that they particularly want to see. We get comments on our Facebook page. We'll get messages back on Twitter. You know, people are very direct with us. So I think, you know, you just have to keep an eye on those messages and those comments and the way people are sharing the content that you are posting, and be absolutely clear that when you do get a certain kind of response, that you're in a position to engage with them and maybe to adjust your thinking and your plans. That's not to say that we will always do one thing or another, but I think that, you know, if we've, for example, got a feature, a very nice interactive feature around quiz, and you know, we're trying to promote that on our website on a particular day, is it appropriate and right to be trying to promote that in the midst of a, you know, international disaster appeal around the typhoon? It may be that it's better to deal with the story of the typhoon, the disaster appeal, the way in which people are reacting to that story and the images that they're seeing. And then towards the end of the day, when you post a lot of content on that story, go back to the interactive quiz that's on, you know, a totally different subject and say, now here's something a little bit different. But, you know, I think it's all about timing and what you want to give when to your audience. Partly about getting their attention, and it's also partly about not overloading them with the wrong kind of content at the wrong time.
And when thinking about the BBC's audience on social, The numbers are huge.
When I took over as assistant editor of the social news team about 15 months or so ago, we had about 2.5 to 3 million followers on our BBC Breaking account on Twitter. We now have approaching 8 million. So that's, you know, an extraordinary rate of growth. We're putting on between sort of 80 and 100,000 new followers on our on BBC Breaking every week on average, which is impressive. On BBC World on Twitter, which is our international facing Twitter account, we have approaching 5 million followers. Our BBC News account, which is domestically focused, UK focused, we have just over 2 million followers. On our BBC Facebook page, we've just surpassed 2 million fans. On our BBC World Facebook page, we've surpassed 4 million fans and are rapidly approaching 5 million. And on our Google Plus page, we are on the verge of reaching 4 million subscribers. So it's an extraordinary success story, actually, right across our platforms.
Channel 4 News has received widespread acclaim for covering Sri Lanka. And along with other big news stories at the moment, it's pushing out news on social from the Commonwealth Conference in Sri Lanka.
Now we've got a team out there. It's a big issue for us to be there because of the work we've done in the past on the alleged war crimes at the end of the Civil War. We've got a team out there constantly tweeting their activity for the Commonwealth Conference. And it's really important to us just to keep showing that we're there. We're holding to account the Sri Lankans. We're there to listen and to tell the stories we know. We're there to meet people. So, yes, if you just sat on the Channel 4 News feed for a day, you might think, hey, there's quite a lot of Sri Lanka here, and I didn't really come for this. But, you know, I don't think that's an issue.
So what is the thinking about sharing updates on other social platforms?
Moving away from Twitter, of course, I think on Facebook you have to be a lot more careful about the mix. You might argue the same for Tumblr, for Google+, YouTube, yes and no. So I think it depends where you are. On Facebook, certainly, I would not bombard people with the same story, lots and lots of posts on the same story. I would think about giving them the choice to come to your site if they want more, rather than giving them it all in a sort of personal space where we all know Facebook is more used for, you know, family photos and personal stuff.
Are there stories that are just not suited to Facebook?
We don't have a hard and fast rule, but we're very cautious with the phone hacking trial particularly. We're not posting regularly about what's been going on in court. And that's largely because, you know, if there then is a big conversation beneath one of our stories, once we've moderated that thread, once we've gone into it, we're then responsible for it. So by and large, we want to put up content where people can talk about it beneath the post. Contentiously, maybe, but if we start to see there are legally problematic posts going up, we then obviously have an obligation to go in, take action, remove the post, delete certain comments. And once that happens, you kind of, it's a snowball effect. You know, we don't have enough people and time to be managing every single thread on Facebook. So it makes more sense to be cautious in the first place. And also, as I said, be aware that people really use Facebook differently to Twitter. It's not a breaking news service as such. It's beginning to be a bit more, but overall it's a social place.
There are stories that will always do well on Facebook, stories around, you know, good viral video, good, you know, debating points and so on, government announcements that involve people's lives directly seem to do particularly well. Where we shy away a little is around court cases that are very controversial and will solicit responses that could potentially be, you know, defamatory. You know, we have to be very careful with the phone hacking case, for example. It's not something that, you know, that we're wanting to post every detail on our Facebook page or even on our, you know, branded Twitter accounts. We tend to point towards the key correspondents that we've deployed on that story and speak with one voice. We have stories that are particularly gruesome and involve sort of murder cases, or stories that are particularly controversial that involve, you know, race or immigration. I think we're quite careful about how we select and how we post around those stories on our Facebook page, because I think, you know, one of the things that we've discovered, and I think a lot of other news organisations have discovered, is that you have to have a fairly light touch approach to dealing with comments and responding to comments on Facebook, because none of us have the capacity to engage with every single one of the people that decides to post a comment or share an image or some other piece of information with us on our Facebook pages. So we let them talk to each other and steer them away from being, you know, rude or breaking our house rules or being defamatory or whatever it happens to be, or racist, if they start to trade into that territory. But I think if we were to select stories that were in themselves so controversial that it would encourage that kind of comment very quickly, we would spend a great deal of time having to, you know, deal with those comments on a kind of minute-to-minute basis. You know, we would be looking at those comments and thinking, well, you know, we need to hide that comment and delete that comment and warn that particular subscriber or fan. You know, when we would be so busy, we wouldn't have time to look at any other news stories. So we are fairly selective about what we put on Facebook for that very reason.
Let's now think about the content itself and what you can do to make stuff that's more shareable on social. Anna Doble.
One thing we're doing is thinking a bit more about the video that we put out. So clearly we put out everything from the programme, and those tend to be longer pieces and interviews, quite often 8-minute films. But we are developing new ways of commissioning and making short form video. So things like explainers from our correspondents on big issues that perhaps have a bit more of a longer tail than a regular news report. So we did, some really simple stuff like Linda Hilson explaining why Qatar matters and why it matters that Qataris have bought lots of property in London. And then we had Jamal Osman, our Somali reporter, explaining who Al-Shabaab were in the early days of the Nairobi siege. Liam Dutton, our weather presenter, will do as an explainer on the jet stream. So clearly these little videos that we'd make to be a minute to 2 minutes long, perhaps with graphics to explain as well as the speaker. And we hope that, A, that they'll be more shareable because they're short and quick and they explain something in a pithy way. And secondly, they're not stories that go out of date. You know, you could still find that useful in a year or in, you know, 6 months, certainly, if you were researching around a topic.
Social video is definitely the new battleground for a lot of us. And we are spending a great deal of time thinking about what video we can embed on our Facebook page. It could be short, sort of 60-second explainers. It could be show and tells that we've got with correspondents out in the field. So, for example, in the last few days, we've got a team of reporters, correspondents, who've started arriving in different parts of the Philippines, and we've got them to, when they, you know, do deliver material to us, we have been cutting it up in different ways and posting it both on our Facebook page and our BBC Instagram account, where we point back to more of our content online, and tweaking videos as well. And I just think, you know, good short form video where you get a sense of place, a sense of understanding of context of the story is instantly shareable.
And we'll be writing a feature on shareable video and sharing that on journalism.co.uk in the next week or so. And you'll be able to hear Mark Frankel at News Rewired, our digital journalism conference, which is taking place on the 20th of February in London. For more on that and for stories on innovations in the digital news industry, go to journalism.co.uk. You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.